Thank you, Lord. God is so good. He's a good God, and He's faithful, and He's just, and He helps us, and He's always there. No matter what the circumstance, He's always there to help us through, to keep us on track. We have to cooperate with Him. We have to determine that we're going to do what we should do in any circumstance. So if we know the Word and we've heard the Word, then we have to do it. And that's the challenge sometimes, is to act on it, to be doers of the Word, because sometimes you just feel like not doing the Word, right? Your flesh doesn't necessarily feel like it. Your mind doesn't tell you, yeah, that's the right thing to do. Your mind may want to do a 180, go in the opposite direction. You know, maybe you had a challenge you didn't feel like coming to church tonight. Well, you know, you're here, so that's a good thing. But sometimes you know what to do at home, and you know you should take a certain step, or you should say certain things, or you should praise God, but you don't feel like it. You don't want to. And that's right. That's a battle right there. That's where so much of the battles take place. Is, you know, hearing the Word is not enough. Hearing will produce faith, but you have to release your faith, and you have to act on it. And I have to act on it. And you know what? You may have heard this said before, but just because I'm anointed to teach and preach the Word does not mean I'm any more anointed to live it than you are. I'm not. People mess that up. They think they hear the Word come forth from somebody and say, oh, that guy must have it all together, has no trouble. That's not true. God anoints people to do certain things, and He anoints people to preach or teach, but I have to walk it out just the same as you do, and that goes for anybody that you may have heard preach or teach, anybody that you would honor and respect and receive the Word from. Don't think that they have different challenges than you. We all have flesh. We all have to do the Word the same. God doesn't give special endowments to act on His Word. He gives special endowments to preach His Word, to teach His Word. There's gifts of the Spirit flowing. Sometimes people confuse that with just the doing of the Word. It's just not so. So nobody gets a special pass. So when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Because the Word's the Word. You know, we're all in this thing together. The Word works, though. You believe it?
Yes.
It always works. I've never seen that doesn't work in my life. I mean, experientially, it always works. Now, there's been times that I haven't worked it, that you haven't worked it, that we knew what we should do, but we just didn't do it. But it wasn't, nobody twisted our arm. Now, the pressure might have been on, but nobody forced us to do it or not do it. Nobody forced us and said, you know, you're not going to do the Word. The devil put pressure on you. He'll try to get you to feel like the pressure is too great and you just have no choice. But that's never true. You always have a choice. I always have a choice. We can always say, no, I'm going to do the Word. I'm going to do the Word. Sometimes, and you're walking in faith the strongest when you act on the Word and you don't see anything to back up what you're acting on. That's when you're walking in faith the strongest. When you don't feel like it, and you quote the Word anyway, and you act like the Word's true, that's when you're walking in faith the strongest. When everything looks great, and you're like, praise God, isn't everything great? That's, well, anybody can do that. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. We've been talking about doubt, the thief of God's greater blessings, and how doubt will steal from us. It will rob us of what God really wants us to have. God has certain things for you, certain things for me that He has provided in His Word. And He wants us to act on the Word and receive them. And it's not just that He wants us to do that as if it's some cosmic game, like, well, let's see if you can do it. This is in the Word. This is what I want you to do. Well, let's just see if you can measure up. It's the only way to receive from Him, because He has set things forth in His Word in this dark world. He set things in to this fallen world that is truth. These things are truth. The devil, the enemy, tries to muddy things and make things look different than what the Word says. He tries to pull people away from God and tries to set up circumstance to make it look like God is not faithful. And the only way that you can receive what God has for you, and the only way I can receive what God has for me, is to believe what He said in the middle of what may look like contradictory circumstances. It's not God that's looking at us going, well, let's see if you can do it, and then I'll decide to bless you. It's not like that at all. He's already has His arms reached out. He's already said, I've provided things, and we have to reach up with the arm of faith and say, I'm going to take that. He's not up there deciding, well, that's good enough. All right, here you go. It's faith that takes what He has already given. He's already blessed us. He's already poured it out. He's already made provision. He said so in His Word, and we have to take it and say, I believe that. It's mine, regardless of what I see, regardless of what I feel. And God is pleased with that. It pleases Him to see His children walk in faith, but it's not like He's withholding until. It's the only way, the only legal way in this earth that you can receive from Him is to act on what He said, believe it, receive it, and His favor is the same toward every person. His grace is the same toward every person. It's a matter of how much we partake of it. Because right now, any person on the face of the earth, if they're not saved, could call on the name of the Lord Jesus tonight and be saved. God is not withdrawing His hand. It's that men aren't reaching their hands out to Him. It's the same thing with any other blessing. God is not showing favorites and saying, well, you know, I'm going to answer this one's prayer. You know, you've said it 1,506 times and that's the threshold. Nobody knows that, but you just crossed the line and therefore, ding, 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 you get your prayer answered. Now, the threshold might change tomorrow, but I'm not going to tell anybody that either. We'll just, you know, keep you guys guessing. It's not like that. He said, if you can believe, then you can have it. You see that over and over in the Bible, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's not like I said, some game. It's that we're believing and acting on what He said. The enemy is always going to be there to try to talk us out of it. And to get us to drop our faith and not to act on what God said. And this is what is going. This was what robs us. Why don't you skip down to on your sheet? Let's turn over there. Let's turn over to Matthew. Praise the Lord. I like preaching about faith. I do. You can't preach about faith without it, you know, affecting you, yourself either. And there's nothing I don't think I'd rather preach on. I like preaching on faith and talking about healing. And there's several other things that I really, really like preaching on. But never get tired of faith. And faith is the way you receive. You know, we talk about healing in the midst of a lot of these things. You know, we'll talk about specifically healing a lot of times. But, you know, a lot of you in this congregation right now have heard the word on healing. So I'm not trying to, a lot of you, I don't need to convince you. And we need to go over the words, and we do, different places. But it's a lot of times not the, well, yeah, okay, God has healed me, and I see those words. It's, I see it, I know it, but I just don't know how to get it. And that's where so many Christians, why doesn't it work in my life? Well, the answer there is faith. The answer there is walking and standing on the Word, because faith is the same in every area. You know, you need to know what God said in any area. You need to know the Word, but then you need to receive it and act on it. You need to be, so many times it's being convinced that God will do what He said He'll do and that He did what He said He did, and then acting on that and not giving in to temptation to doubt at a certain point. Now, some people are ignorant. Some people, I mean, that they don't know that Jesus healed them, and then they need to be taught that. But at some point, if you've heard it and you say, well, I tried that, it's not working, then the problem is not so much the word. You've heard the word, but you're not acting on it. It can be that way with finances. It could be that way with relationships. Well, I've tried to get along with my spouse, but Well, it's the word's still the word. You've heard it, but it doesn't seem to be working, or you're not acting on it, so then you're doubting. And so it's not happening. The problem is not that word. It's not that you have to go back and look and say it. You need to be convinced that what the word says is true. So when we talk about like going over healing scriptures, people make a work out of that. Well, I got to go over it so many times because then I'll have faith. See, you missed it. Completely missed it. It's not about going over it and over it and over it to try to get something. Yes, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But faith in what? If you're just trying to go over and over something to try to gain something, you missed it already. You're trying to like cross a line. And so many times that can just become just a cycle, just works. It's not that you're trying to earn something from God. You might say, well, I'm not doing that, but if I do this enough, then it'll just come. But you don't have to look over and over necessarily. The reason you're looking back at the scriptures is to remind yourself and put it in front of you, and you should do that, of what God said. But then when you walk away, you have to act on it. You have to believe it. People say, well, I'm just going to go back and I'm going to look at it again because it's not working. That's not the problem. Did you hear me? It's not the problem to go back. It's that you need to believe on what you've heard and say, yeah, that's true. So many times what it is, I have a pain. I have a symptom. It's not changing. So I'm going to go back and look at it again. Well, that hell, I'm not negating looking at the scripture, okay? But so many times you're trying to do that over and over to try to get rid of it. But as soon as you go away, it's what do you do with the thoughts that come to you when you're not looking at the word? How are you acting in response to symptoms or circumstances that contradict the word? That's a lot of times where the battle is. It's not, well, I got to do this and do this and pull this lever and try this and rebuke this. And you know, so people just go from thing to thing trying to, well, I'm missing it somewhere. But what they're looking is, I just need one more little thing. Well, maybe, okay, now I got to use the name of Jesus. Okay, it's that. But most of it comes back to just acting on what God has already said. You can know one scripture on healing and get healed. You don't need to know everyone. It doesn't hurt to know them because the enemy will try to come at you at different angles. But if you know one, if you knew Matthew 8:17, he himself, let's just look at that. This is a little bit different, but we're right in Matthew 13 or 14. What would I tell you to go to? Matthew 13? So, I was telling you to go to Matthew. Didn't I tell you to go to Matthew 14? So, you're Matthew 14, so go right back to Matthew 8. So, look at Matthew 8:14. Praise the Lord. You guys read? I mean, you just pulling. We're just going with God. God's teaching us right now. We'll just go with Him. I want you to go back. I was going to read Matthew 8:16 and 17. We'll do that. Then I think we'll back up. Matthew 8:16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He himself, if you knew that, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. If he took them, if he bore them, then you don't need to bear them. You don't need to take them. So it's like if we went out to eat, or let's say you went out to eat, and you were with some friends, and I was in the same restaurant, and you didn't see me, and I snuck up and said, hey, see that table over there? I want to take care of their bill. Mind if I do that? Yeah, okay. And so I leave. And you come up, and they say, they come over to your table and bring you the bill, but it's already marked paid. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm ready to pay this. And you say, well, Somebody already paid it for you. Well, no, but I want to pay it anyway. Well, it's already paid. But you, no, but I want to. You wouldn't do that. You'd say, thank God. All right, we're going on our way. I don't care who it was. It's done. All right, if you say so, that's your job. I'm done, right? But so many of us, see, right there, you could say, well, I don't believe you. I want to pay it anyway. But that would be, why would you do that? And what good would it do? It's not going to, I mean, the bill's paid. So if somebody else paid it, why are you paying it? So that's the same thing right here. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. If he took them, why do we think we have to take them? We don't. If he bore them, and he bore them for us, not because he needed it, but for us, then why are you taking them? Why do you feel like you have to bear? See, right there, that's enough. You say, okay, I believe that, that's it. I'm not bearing anymore. I'm not doing it. Oh, it comes on me. Well, that's not mine to bear. Jesus took that. That's all. You could get healed right there. You don't need to know anymore. Well, no, but you need to know more Scripture. No, you don't. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't know more Scripture. I'm saying you don't need to know Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, because let me ask you a question. How many of most of these people that heard Jesus preach or Paul preach, there's no indication that they heard it over and over and over, and then that was the time they got healed. They heard it, they acted on it, and they were healed. Why do we think we just have to heal it, or we have to hear it a year? Well, you know, you just don't know enough about faith yet. You know what faith is? It's believing that what somebody said is true, and in this case, God. If he said it, that's it. And we think, well, we have to be indoctrinated in the Word and Faith movement or whatever people think. It discourages people. It can be discouraging to you because you don't want to tell anybody that Jesus will heal them, because if I tell them that, then I got to wait, you know, yes, he heals you. He's healed you, but you got to take these courses before you're ever really going to get it. I got to give you this study guide and this, I mean, I want to tell you about healing, but really it's not just that simple. You have to know so much more before you have a prayer. Why? Because that's the way so many people have walked. Does anybody bear witness to that? I grew up around this thing. So many people are like, I know, man, we know a healing, but we just can't seem to wrap our heads around it. It's just too hard. I mean, I don't know why I'm not healed. And just, but you know what? I've heard, or not heard, read accounts from Brother Hagin about people that would come to his meetings when he would travel, like in a church. I'm thinking of one particular, and I can't remember specifically the details of that this lady, it was a couple. And this lady, I think, if I'm not mixing up the stories, there's so many different ones, but I think in this case she was pretty weak, and came in, and the Brother Hagin talked with her afterwards. Anyway, I think that I'd probably get the details of the different stories. I can't remember if this one was specifically this, but this is the gist that I wanted to get over to you. I know in a case there was a husband and wife, and he mentioned to him, and I believe it was 1 Peter 2:24, and asked her, and she was like a Baptist or something. Somebody, and Brother Hagin grew up Baptist, so, you know, you could say that. But she didn't necessarily believe any of these things, but she knew God. It was obvious. She believed God. And he asked her, if I could show you where it said in the Bible that Jesus took your infirmities, bore your sicknesses, or by his stripes you were healed, I think was the scripture that, you know, 1 Peter 2:24 says, you know, by his stripes you were healed. He said, if I could show you a scripture that said that, would you believe it? Yeah, if that's in the Word. And he showed it to her and said, okay, well, that's it, I'm healed. And didn't look any different, but went out, and I think in that case her husband carried her out. And she came back, oh yeah, I believe it was that, because she came back in like the next day or the day after that and was completely healed, was walking again and was fine. And there was another person, I don't know if it was in the same meeting or what, but I believe he was telling these stories together, that was a member of this church or a member of the Full Gospel Church, had been for years, looked and spoke in tongues, and when he talked to her, it was like, so do you you remember this? Just, oh yeah, you know, you believe in him. Oh yeah, I've heard that and everything, but I don't know why this isn't working. And he would say a scripture, yeah, I've heard that, but it's not working. Yeah, well, what about this? Well, yeah, I know that, but... And then went to this lady and said, you know, if I could show you this, would you believe it? Yeah. And saw it. Okay, that's it. I believe it. I'm healed. But so many people are like that other lady that's, well, I've known it. Yeah, we know all about it. Oh, I know that and I know that, but I need something else. See, I've tried that. That isn't, yeah, whatever. I've heard that healing message for 30 years, and I know, but it's something else. You know what it is? We just got to take God at his word, believe it, and say, that's it. Yeah, but I tried that. Try that, Pastor Jim. Don't work. It does work. This is where the crux of the matter is. Do I believe what God said or not? And some people that wouldn't have been around what we would call these circles, but they believe God in other areas, they come and say, oh, well, it says that. They're ignorant. They never heard that. They never saw it in the Word, but now they see it. Okay. If God said it, that's the way it is. Done. But so many times we've heard it, and we're like, well, I know, but, you know, we know the way it really works is that you just don't know. I mean, you know, you just got to get enough word in you. Well, that's true. Enough word in you to what? Combat the unbelief and actually take God at his word. See, people have twisted in their head where they're looking at the word and they won't act on it. That can be a problem, but why won't you act on it? Because you're not convinced it's true. It's not just a thing in itself. Let me see if we're right on the cusp of this. Let's see if we can get it across. Help me, Lord. Looking at scriptures is not an end in itself. Let me just put it, if you don't get what you need from God, the answer always is lack of faith and unbelief, period. Okay? And we could read more scripture. We've actually read some of these scriptures. But over in, I'll just give you the reference because I'm not going to turn there right now. But Matthew 17, verse 20, don't turn there. But that was where, when we read this, but Jesus said to the crowd, the man came with his son that wasn't getting healed, and he asked him why. And Jesus said, the man asked Jesus why. Why couldn't they cast out? He was saying, why couldn't the disciples cast the spirit out? Well, because of your unbelief. There's no mystery. Okay, there's no mystery. So if you don't receive from God, if I don't receive from God, the answer is lack of faith or unbelief. Period. Now, see, people get, then they're like, well, I just need more scripture. Well, in a sense, that's true. But what are we going after? We need an understanding of the reality of God and that his word is true. And somewhere there is something combating it in our heads so that we won't act on it. But it's not. But then some people will twist it and say, well, I just have to read it over and over. Reading the same scriptures over and over is not necessarily the problem. It's that somehow we're not acting on it. But why wouldn't we act on it? Why would we doubt? It's because we're letting something push us off, or we're not convinced that God's word's true. It's that simple, but we've made it almost like a game or an end in itself that I just am in this ever-ending pursuit of faith. It's not that complicated. It's that not that hard. The devil he'll just keep pricking you if you listen to him this way. Well, you know, you just got to read more scripture. No. You could probably, half the people that are in this boat could quote, you know, half the scriptures in the Bible about healing. That's not the problem. A lot of times, like I started out saying, it's not the knowledge of healing, it's how to apply it in the fact that you need to actually receive it by faith. And you need to just take God at His word. And I need to take God at His word and say, well, you said it, that's it. It's like this in every area. Either we believe what God said, or we're going to waffle. You know, James, over in James 1, it says, if you ask in faith, or ask when you're asking for wisdom, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. You going to believe God or not? Well, I don't know. I doubt. I believe today, but now I just don't feel like it, so I'm not going to believe. Well, what does it say? It said, let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. Amen? It's really, this is not that hard. The enemy tries to make it hard. Well, it's so hard. I mean, you just can't see. You just can't get there. No, it's not that hard. Really, like we said, you could get healed on one scripture. Just skip back up to Matthew 8:5 there. Look at this. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Now, let me ask you a question. How many, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but how many times has this man heard Jesus speak? I don't know, but I doubt he's probably heard him speak as many times as most people. I mean, a lot of people in the Word and Faith circles have heard the word on healing. And I mean, there's no indication one way or another, but the guy's a centurion. I mean, he's probably not just going to healing meetings all the time. Plus, Jesus was only around for 3.5 years total in different places. Verse 7 says, and Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He comes and says, my servant's paralyzed. He's dreadfully tormented. Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Bam, he said. You just let it go. You just say it, it'll be done. Confidence. He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great, what? Faith. Why? Because he believes. He says, you don't even have to come to my house. You just say it, boom, it's going to be done. I believe it. That settles it, because I tell my soldiers, you go do this, and guess what? They do it. Somebody tells me to do something, and I do it. The people over me tell me that. So you are over everything, so if you say it, it's done. You just speak the word. I'm ready. It'll be done. And Jesus said, whoa, I haven't seen anything like this. Verse 10, he said, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Not even in Israel. And then he comments on the kingdom of Israel. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. And this and his servant was healed that same hour. Go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. As you what? As you believe. And you believed it, and it happened. Well, I bet you that guy was in his room studying his scripture sheets at home before he came. So he got his faith up before he came to Jesus. That's probably what happened, don't you think? I don't think so. What scripture sheets? What, he had his rolls and he's going through and just the old came. He didn't even have what we just read in Matthew. He didn't have, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. You're kind of in a twilight there between the two covenants. But no, he came and his servant was healed. Why? Because he just acted on what God said. He said, all right, I believe that. You say it, it's done. That's it. That's not hard. I said it's not hard. We can act. Can you and I do the same thing, or is this guy special? Not special. Same thing. Let's go over to Matthew 14 where we are going. Praise the Lord. Actually, before we go there, let's go over to Matthew 17, where we had mentioned before. I'll just sew this up. I told you not to turn there, but we'll go over there. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him saying, he came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. How many times have you heard this? Well, I went to so-and-so, they laid hands on me, nothing happened. Then somebody else, they did too, nothing happened. I don't know. I get hands laid on me by everybody, it just doesn't work, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Well, I don't know. I tried it. It doesn't work. I don't know. I mean, I'll get there eventually, but I don't know. Just me. I don't know. God doesn't like me, or God's just teaching me something, whatever. And most people have been around this circle. They know enough not to say God's teaching them something, because two or three people will correct them, you know, if they say that. Whoa, God's not teaching you something. Yeah, but, you know, it's not about what you say. No need to be word police. It's what you do and act. I mean, good night. Some people say stuff and they don't mean it. It says what you believe and act on, believe in your heart. We don't need to be like, you know, oh, don't say it. I mean, yes, there is a truth in what you say, absolutely, but that's not what we're talking about. It's getting results. But yeah, well, we took them to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. So I brought them to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Jesus is real nice there, right? He's just like, oh, poor soul. Jesus, he's velvet and steel. He's wherever he needs to be. You need to be, he needs you to, you know, he needs to be nice to you, he's going to be nice to you. But if you need a good slap, he's going to give you one. People got it really messed up when they think, oh, Jesus, just, no, Jesus is loving. Well, you know, if you're a good parent, you're just always just so soft to your children. That's not true. Sometimes they need a good whack on the rear end. The Bible says so. That's biblical. They need a good stern talking to. That's Jesus did it. Oh, just got to be nice. You know, you just don't want to damage your self-esteem. Well, whatever. That's not in the Bible. Jesus, you know, if Jesus talking to some people, they'd be crying. I can't believe that guy Jesus. He treated me so poorly. Can't believe he talked to me like this. I don't, whatever. That's not biblical. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? That's not an excuse to be mean to people either. Now, Jesus knew the difference, when to be harsh and when not to. Some people, they take it to the opposite, and they're just in everybody's face all the time. Well, Jesus did it. Yeah, but he didn't do it all the time. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said, because you haven't been reading your healing scriptures. You didn't spend enough time. But no, he said, because of your unbelief. He did say, you didn't believe. He did not say anything else. Well, you don't know what God will do. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why it didn't work for you guys, but, you know, I am the Son of God, and it always works for me, so good thing you brought him to me. He did not say that. He said, it's because of your unbelief, straight up. That's it. Why? It's real simple. If we don't receive, somehow we are, our faith is not where it should be, or we are not believing, period. You say, that's too hard. Well, it's the truth. People want another, what do you think? People want some other reason. Well, it's just, you know, God. And that's why people make up weird doctrines. Well, it's God. You know, he wanted it this way. He's just, it's not his time yet. He'll do it in his time. That's not true. His time's always now. What is he waiting for? He's been around forever. And you just showed up on the scene and he's waiting for some day in your life before he's going to act on his word? That's a lie. If we haven't believed for healing, he would have had us healed yesterday, 10 days ago. That's not to condemn us. Then people say, well, I knew it was my fault. Forget it. That's not good. But do we want the truth or not? The truth is, we don't have the faith, or we're acting in unbelief. What's the cure? It is the word. But it's the word and you seeing the word and acting on the word, not a list just going over, religiously going over something and not letting it impact our heart. The word is going to give us understanding so we can see where we missed it so we can act on it. It's not to give us goosebumps so that we say, ooh, now I feel like I can believe. See, that's where so many people are. They'll read some more word. It'll make them feel good because the word will do that. And they think that's faith. Well, now I have faith because I feel good. And so now I'm going to act in faith. But then when they don't feel good anymore, they say, well, now I don't know why it's not working. See, that's not faith. And it's not that you don't have faith. We have faith, but we just don't stay on it. And we let other things get us off. We let other things become more important or bigger in our eyes than what God said. Now that's when you have, why would you go? See, this is where you look at the scripture. Why would you then, you have symptoms in front of you, you have circumstance in front of you, but you are believing a promise of God, whether it's in healing or some other area. Why would you go back and look at the scripture? Because what you're seeing is not lining up with the scripture, so you're going to go back and remind yourself, now this is what you said, I'm going to put it in my face again, so I see, nope, this is what it said. So when you go back and look at this, it's like, nope, you're contradicting, this scripture or this circumstance is contradicting what I just read. It's not to go back and just do it religiously and go, oh, well, I'm just going to look at it. No, it's to say, nope, you said this. I'm going to remind myself, stir myself up on what you said, and I'm going to believe that in spite of what I'm seeing with my physical eyes. Do you guys get the difference? You're reminding yourself of what God said, not doing it saying, well, I just must not have enough faith. Already missed it. So many times we have plenty of faith, we just are deceived, we are duped into looking at other things and not using the faith that we have. If we would just stand strong and say, yeah, I see that, but I'm not going to move. I'm still going to say I'm healed in spite of it. Yeah, that hurts, but I'm still going to say I'm healed in spite of it hurting, and that's got to go. And I'm going to do something that I couldn't do. I'm telling you what, don't do anything real dumb, but when you have pain, don't kowtow to it, lean into it. You know what I mean by that? If it hurts to do something, like I said, don't do something where, you know, don't do something out beyond your faith just to do it, but don't take it, resist it. That means if something hurts, don't go, well, I just can't do that, it hurts. Do as much as you can, even if it does hurt, and start pushing past it and say, I don't care if it hurts. I'm not taking the pain. The pain has got to go. I'm pushing into it. I'm going to act, not, well, I'm going to act on it because that's what I'm supposed to do. You believe that this thing can't stay, and the pain is not going to keep you from believing. Part of believing is acting on it. Well, that hurts. Well, I don't care. It's not going to kill me. So I'm going to lean into it. I'm not going to take the pain. I'm not going to take the symptom. It will not dominate me, because when you shy back and say, well, I can't do that because you're not believing. You're already saying, well, I can't do it. But if you really believe what you say you believe, you'll start taking steps. You don't have to go the whole way the first time either. Yeah. Don't let the devil tell you, well, if you really believe, you just do it all. No, we say, I'm taking a step. I couldn't do, I mean, you know, if my arm hurt and it hurt to go all the way up here, I'm going here. That hurt, but it doesn't hurt as much, but I'm going to go here. And maybe next time I'm going to go here. And then I'm going to go here. And I'm just going to keep taking steps to where I'm free. You just keep on it. Well, I don't see it yet. I don't care. I'm not backing up. I won't back off. I won't yield to it. I'm not going to be pushed, because the pain will try to make you sit down and go, I'm not going to do anything. I can't do it. Why? Because I just tried it and it hurt. So that's subject to change. Before, there was a time probably it didn't hurt to do that same thing. Why can't it go back the other way? And it probably didn't all show up in one day either. Anyway, a lot of things don't. Well, so what? It might not. So what if it takes a little bit for it to go? So what? So what? Who said that's bad? Who said, we act like somebody's on our shoulder going grading you on your faith card. Bottom line is, are you making progress? Bottom line is, are we pushing toward? Don't let anybody condemn you. The only person that is going to try to condemn you is the enemy and his cohorts. Anybody that knows true faith and has walked through some things will not condemn you. They'll say, you keep at it. I've been there. I've been through that. You're fighting the good fight of faith, walking the walk. You just stay in there. Because anybody that's walked in true faith, I'm not talking about, just they've heard stuff and never really acted on it, never really believed, but they'll know that you go through periods where you have to walk by faith and not by sight, and through symptoms and through circumstances, and they'll be on your side saying, yep, you just stay right there, I'm with you. And they will not condemn you. Religious people condemn. Religious people say, well, you're not doing it right. Yeah, but what have you done? What's your testimony? And don't ever fault somebody else until you've walked through that exact same thing and overcome it. Then you have something to talk about. Then you can say, well, when I was going through that, here's... But if you've never walked through and conquered what somebody else is walking through and conquered, or walking through, then you shouldn't be so, and I shouldn't be so quick to say, well, this is the way I do it. How do you know? Well, if I were there, I would do it this way. How do you know? Do you know what it feels like to go through that? It's like to deal with certain things? No, well then, we shouldn't do that. But here, how are we doing? Right at 8. We'll just wrap this up. Verse 20, it says, why could we not cast it out? Verse 20 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. He said, it's not. It's your unbelief, because if you had faith, just a little bit of faith, you could tell the mountain move, and it would. So you could have the faith, but you let the unbelief stop you. You let what you see, maybe the circumstances are, maybe this kid was flailing around. The disciples are like, well, I haven't seen one like that. I know what Jesus has done before, we've done before, but I haven't seen this. Well, they could have faith, but they're letting unbelief rob them. That's where we're getting to, is that faith, unbelief will rob you of what God wanted you to have. You have it, you have the faith, you're going along, but then you start doubting and you give it up, and God had what he had this for you, but doubt robbed you of what God wanted you to have. And that's why the enemy tries to push. He tries to get you to look at things. Tries to get you to feel and see and think. And if he can keep you in the sense realm, in the feeling realm, then he can beat you. If you keep him in the faith realm and say, yeah, I feel that, I don't care. Yeah, I see that, but I don't care. It'll change. It's subject to change. Jesus said it's healed. So I'm siding with him. It'll come. We just stay there. Well, what if it takes a while? So what? It doesn't change God's word. See, that's the problem. People, why would you... See, time is another thing that people, it causes them to doubt. Well, it's been so long. So what? So what? Well, it's been a long time. So what? Why does that matter? Well, I just must not have a faith. Well, you're going to drop it right now if you're asking that question. So why would you go down that way? Who cares? It's been a little bit. So what? See, we let that trip us up. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God's good.